Pero bien. Right. Let's do this, eh? I actually spent the first part of the service just sitting there listening and just taking in, hearing the worship coming this way, hearing each of your voices singing out to God. It's actually really, really powerful. I've said it loads of times, I would love for you to hear it through this perspective. Because I believe that when we come to church and we come to worship God, in some ways it seems totally inadequate, the words that we sing, because of God's greatness. But being able to just come and express our thankfulness, just to honor Him with our voices, is pretty amazing. And now we get to come and open God's Word. And we come to see, what does this mean for us today? What does this look like for us as a church? We've been looking at that over the past few weeks. We've been going through this Love Your Church series. And if you're still reading the book and you're still taking it in, I wonder how much it's enhanced your appreciation for what we have as a church. What exactly is the church? Because in reality, you are the church. And if I get this right and you get this right, then I believe that nothing's going to stop the potential that God can use in this place. The only thing that's going to stop it in reality is me and you. And that's why, again, as we come to God's Word today, I'm going to be looking at some passages, simple passages. Stuff that some of you might have heard 100 times before. But for some of you, this might be the first time ever. You see, living for Jesus is totally life-changing. And if you're here this morning and you've encountered Jesus, you've met Jesus, you've been forgiven by Jesus, you will know how life-changing it is. And it shouldn't stop at that point when you find Jesus, to the changes continuing, and for your life to be inspired by who Jesus is. And as a result, as a natural result, it's going to connect with other people. That's the way that it works. In some ways, we can't keep this stuff to ourselves. When you get good news or awesome news or a life-changing experience, you tell everybody. And that is our responsibility when it comes to telling people about Jesus. Why? Because it's life-changing. If Jesus has changed your life today, then you've got something to tell. And it may have been in a small way. Although I don't think your sins forgiven is small, right? I think that's massive. Or it may have been in a dramatic way. But when you've had your life changed, and when I've had my life changed by Jesus, it should inspire us to tell the world. And that's what we're going to be thinking about today. As a church, our responsibility is to tell everybody about the hope that we have in Jesus. That's it, right? Now, some of you might disagree with me on this. Bear with me, right, as I go forward. But sometimes I think we overcomplicate stuff. When actually Jesus was clear in His command and His commission, or as I've been calling it this week, His go mission. And when we see what Jesus said and what Jesus instructed, when we see the lives transformed in the Gospels, but then I look out here today and I see lives that are transformed, I tell everybody about you. Genuinely. I tell people about the life-changing experience that I've had in meeting Jesus. A few weeks ago, I mentioned the movie that I watched when I was younger that gave me real inspiration when it came to telling other people about Jesus, right? And it's not a Christian movie at all, but it's called Pay It Forward. And the idea was there was a wee boy at school and he was given a project to come up with that would potentially change the world. And he presented it to the class. And he drew a circle at the top and he wrote the word "you". And his vision was that if you could help somebody in a way that they couldn't help themselves, and you passed that on to three people, and then they were inspired by you paying it forward rather than paying you back out of gratitude, paying it forward to the next three people, then you can imagine how this would just expand. Now let's do a wee picture this morning and hear. If Andy went and told three people about Jesus, and Chris went and told three people about Jesus, and Jesse told three people about Jesus, and Alistair told, you get the picture? Very, very quickly, people would hear about Jesus. They would hear not just the theory, but they would hear the transformation that's happened in each of these individuals' lives. And you would hope that as they believed, they would have that same passion to tell another three people. And they would tell another three people, and tell another three people. In reality, starting with one person, splitting into three, within 2 weeks, potentially, tens of thousands of people could hear about Jesus if we just paid it forward. Because in reality, I don't know anybody in our world, in our lives, in our community, that isn't they looking for something to change in their life right now, change the cycle that they're in. Things just seem to be on repeat. You're selling to that rut, into that place, into that norm. And I suppose we've got this desire to see change happen. But how do we see the change? How do we experience the change? What motivates it? I don't know if anybody's seen the series that is on the telly. I don't know how to get to it. Fiona presses the buttons, right? But it was about Berlini. Did anybody see it? Did anybody watch it? I'm telling you, I was broken watching that. Seeing the cycle of people in that place, in the big house, caught up in addiction. Their past broke them, and nothing seemed to be able to fix them. And the stories that are in that place are repeated, not just in prisons across our land, but in households and lives. And people are desperately looking for the change, but they can't get out of the rut of trying to find that thing that's going to fix it, because most of the time it's no. It's what they know. There isn't anything different. It just gets run in a cycle. And it destroys lives, and it destroys families. And it destroys individuals. And equally, we might look at stories like that and think, yeah, that's where the problems are, but no. I see people chasing and pursuing things at the other end of the spectrum, people that seem to have everything, that don't want for anything, but they go down that same spiral, trying to find hope, trying to find purpose, trying to find peace. Try to find the thing that's going to change their life. I'm telling you this morning, right? Finding Jesus and being forgiven by Jesus, this is life-changing. And it can change your life this morning as it's changed mine. When you look through the Gospels, we can see the miracles and the moments that Jesus met with people, literally opening their eyes, giving them strength in their legs, freeing them from the evil spirits that had possessed them. It was life-changing. And these personal experiences should be experiences that we want to pass on to others. Are we telling people about the hope and forgiveness that Jesus brings? The purpose that Jesus brings? The peace that Jesus brings? Are we doing it personally? Are we doing it as a church? Because this is life-changing. If you're sitting here this morning and your life has been transformed by Jesus, and you haven't been telling him to, maybe this morning's a chance for us to wake up and to get active and get moving. Because it can take just one person telling another person to change whole communities, if not countries. John chapter 4, we read of Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. If you've got your Bible, turn to John chapter 4, verse 39. Jesus has met this woman who's tried to get out the road to everybody. She knows her past and so does everybody else. She knows the best time of day to go out to that well to avoid everybody else. She knows what everybody thinks about her. She knows what she's done in the past. And the easy thing for her was, well, I'll go at midday when everybody else is getting out the road of the sun. And that day she came face to face with the Son of God, who met her and who taught her and who showed her real love that day. Jesus knew everything about her and he loved her. And it was going to change her life. And what was the result of that? What was the result of Jesus meeting that woman that day? What was the result of Jesus unpacking that woman's life story? All the past, all the failures, all the mistakes. Did he leave her there? No. He told her what it meant to really worship and who to really worship. And John chapter 4, verse 39 shows us the impact of one person meeting Jesus at a well. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, because of her story. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, not just because of the woman's words, but because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. Many more had their lives changed. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because what you have said. We have heard for ourselves, and we now know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This was life-changing. This was Jesus. This woman's needs weren't physical, like the blind or the lame. But there was a mental and spiritual weight that was on this woman. And she was finally seen, valued. She found purpose. She found true worship. And she could not keep it to herself. She told everybody. And as a result, everybody heard and many believed. And the Gospels are full of experiences like this. But you know what? This room is full of experiences like this. People who have found Jesus and who can't wait to tell everybody else about it. Monday night, I had a night off. Alpha was left with Craig and Chris and the team. And at the end of the night, I know he's going to give it a trouble, right? But I texted to find out how it went. Right? I know I was off, but I'm not really off, right? I'm interested. I'm invested. I wanted to know what was happening. And the guys told me what had happened. And I'm telling you, my heart was bursting, right? My heart was bursting. Because somebody on Monday night found out that this is life-changing. And gave their life to Jesus. And went from death to life, from darkness to light. To becoming a child of God. And Monday night I was buzzing, absolutely buzzing. But then I had that awkward moment of thinking, I can't really say anything. And then I got a message just before we went to our bed. Tell me that they had got saved. tell me that their life had got transformed. And I'll tell you what, it was amazing. Right? I was buzzing. And they couldn't get to sleep. But Chris, she inspired me. Because you couldn't wait to tell MD. And in fact, I've heard stories this week, you kind of keep your mouth shut. Right? Folks, why we no link that? In a couple of weeks' time, on the 3rd of November, Hope's getting baptised. And Hope, I went to see her the other day. A beautiful, simple faith, but encounter Jesus in a real way. And she's going to come and get baptised in the tank. How amazing is that? A young person telling people about what's happening in their life with Jesus. Sorry. Folks, I don't want our church to be a church that just keeps this message to ourselves, that play at church, that turn up and you get what you want and you walk out the door and you keep your mouth shut until the next time you're here. It doesn't work like that. It was never designed to work like that. This is life-changing. And you might be sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus yet. And you've not experienced that life change that Chris has experienced this week. That others who've been on this course, I'm looking at them now, John, other folks, and it's amazing, right? But you might be here thinking, I want to know what it is to have my life changed. It's only going to happen if you meet Jesus. And that's why I love getting the chance to come up here and tell you. But it's not just my job. It's your job to tell the people that's in your world, that's in your house, that's in your work, that's in your community, that's in your street, that's in your life, and tell them about the life-changing impact of Jesus. Knowing what it is to be forgiven and experience living hope. That's why as a church we will do whatever and invest whatever it is that we can to tell other people. We'll not be limited. Because we want to tell people about Jesus. That's why as a church we'll do whatever it takes to get the message out there. That's why we're never going to be insular and just keep this to ourselves, because it doesn't work and it wasn't what Jesus said to do. Think about this for a minute. And I mentioned this last week. Jesus had all authority and he passed the responsibility on to you and me. To make disciples, to go into the world and to see disciples made. Pay it forward. I find Jesus. I tell you about Jesus. You find Jesus. You tell somebody else about Jesus. They find Jesus. They tell somebody else about Jesus. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked. And when it doesn't work, it's normally because somebody like me finds Jesus and doesn't tell anybody else. I become the glitch. Jesus had all authority and he passed the responsibility onto us. Go is an instruction. It's not an option. And that's why I said earlier on, this great go mission, the commission that he gave us, Matthew 28 verse 16, says this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Some were still trying to figure it out. But then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always till the very end of the age. Because we don't do this alone. He's with us. He comes with us. He goes before us. And we want to see people following Jesus, following Jesus' teaching, following Jesus' example, following Jesus' influence, and seeing it transform their lives. Multiply that by 250, multiply that by 500, multiply that and keep it going and see what God is doing. It's happening in our nation right now. Acts chapter 1, again, verses that you may be familiar with. It says this in verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, he said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. Be my witnesses. Tell your story. Tell my story, Jesus is saying. And it's amazing to see what happens as a result. World changers, life changers. But how do we do it? And this is where sometimes I think we get it wrong, okay? As I said, sometimes I think we overcomplicate it. We look for fancy strategies or big events or stuff to happen. The next big preacher's coming to town, let's take everybody there. The next big thing's happening, let's get people there. But what about getting just people right there? What about just living this out in the day to day? And living it out that actually people are going to be inspired. How do we do it in such a way that people are going to connect? Is it going to be through big fancy words? I don't believe so. Is it going to be through Jesus, through your life and mine? I do believe so. The reality, the genuineness, the way that you're experiencing your faith and the good times, equally when you're at rock bottom, is what's going to shine through. But it's not easy. And this is where I suppose I get a bit perplexed. Why is it that the world is so against having their life changed for the better and having their lives changed by Jesus? I don't get it. We're going to suffer persecution. People are against us. The New Testament shows us that. It happened to Paul. They tried to kill him for his faith. It happens today. People try to kill folks in some parts of the world for their faith. Why are people so against this life-changing message, this life-transforming message? I don't get it. Because if somebody came to me and says, I can offer you hope, I can offer you forgiveness, I can offer you a future and a plan and a purpose, do you want it? How stupid would I be to say, no, you're all right. But it happens. But sometimes people do want to harm us or persecute us or run us down or cancel us or whatever it might be because of our faith. We see it more and more. But listen to what it says in 1 Peter. And if you've read your book this week, you'll know that this is some of the passage that the Love Your Church series looks at. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. It says, who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. But listen to these instructions. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Do you know what jumped out at me in this wee passage? It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why would they ask you? Because they see it in you. They hear it in you. In some ways it gets their attention. And they think to themselves, why is that person the way that they are? Why is that person reacting and acting that way? Why is that person treating me like this? What is the hope that they have that I don't have? You see, they recognized it. And what Peter's saying here is, when somebody asks you why you're different, why you have hope when things are hopeless, why you have light